Spears back behind the cage. Stint. Stint moves it to the far side boards. Back to the point on the blue line, but now cleared out by Bay Area. Chasing it down will be Ava Rohde. As we mentioned earlier, the winner of the top defenseman in the state at the awards this week. Finishing off her career with some hardware. Back up ice comes Central Wisconsin. Through center ice comes Yurkowski. Yurkowski had it knocked away. Collision again, and the puck cleared to center. Grabbed by Ava Whitmore. Whitmore brings it back in. Whitmore into the left corner. Whitmore below the goal line. Now behind the cage. Now to the right corner. Gabby Heiser there for Central Wisconsin. Puck is now taken by Stint. Stint will move along the near side boards. Now the puck comes loose. Grabbed by Heiser between the circles, but then knocked away. Backhanded back to the point and back to center with 50 seconds to go. Storm will get it back. Miscommunication on the pass attempt. Rolls into the Bay Area zone. Banged ahead to the far to the near side boards. Backhanded to the point. Ava Rohde keeps it in for Central Wisconsin. Rolls into the left wing corner of the Ice Bears zone. Ice Bears will flip it back to center. Delayed offside on the Storm. They do clear the zone. Picked up by Beck. Beck gets it ahead to center ice. Now picked up in her own end by Taylor Friedel for the Storm. Friedel gets it back to center ice. Puck is now played by Mara Meverden. She'll roll it in deep. Chased down behind the cage. Down to 12 seconds to go. Taylor Friedel, I can't remember. I think I mentioned her in the list, but if I did, I want to make sure I mentioned her. Another of the seniors. As the final seconds tick off, and the Bay Area Ice Bears will celebrate a state championship, defeating the Central Wisconsin Storm by a score of 8-0. So the Ice Bears off to our right, and the Storm getting together in a big huddle to our left. Togetherness on both sides.
Yeah, you know, this is not the result the Storm wanted today, but it doesn't take away from what they accomplished. First for these seniors in their career, but secondly, what they've accomplished this season. Just a phenomenal season for them. Obviously, it's a phenomenal season for Coach Buchan and his Ice Bears. Just a great showcase of girls hockey. I think, you know, this score probably wasn't evident to what the game was, but, you know, you look at what girls hockey is here in our state, and it's certainly getting better every year.
It certainly is, and again, for the seniors for the Central Wisconsin Storm, two state championships, a state runner-up, and again, a record that is hard to top. You don't see too many multiple state championships in a graduating class, and that's exactly what happened with this group of the Central Wisconsin Storm players. We're going to come back, recap this one. They'll have the trophy presentation, and the good thing about making it to the state final for the Storm, you do get another trophy. So they will get another one to add to the multiple trophy cases at the schools in Marathon County. But we'll come back, have our post-game show coming up next. 8-0 Bay Area over the Storm. This is Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Four Seasons Golf of Wausau would like to congratulate the Wausau West boys and Central Wisconsin Storm hockey teams on making it to the state tournament. Four Seasons Golf of Wausau is Wausau's only four-bay indoor golf simulator and sports bar. With spring right around the corner, grab your clubs and give Four Seasons Golf a call to set your tee time and get tuned up for the outdoor season. Call 715-679-3769 or visit their website, fourseasonsgolfofwausau.com.
Are you thinking about updating or transforming your home or business? Mike Whitmore Construction has been delivering nearly three decades of professional construction service you can count on. Stunning interior renovations, durable exterior upgrades. Mike and his team do it all, expertly, efficiently, with quality that lasts. See the quality work of Mike Whitmore Construction on their Facebook page. For craftsmanship you can trust, call Mike Whitmore Construction today. 715-401-3965. Mike Whitmore Construction. Built on experience. Driven by quality.
The Wausau Cyclones' quest for a championship begins next weekend. Wausau will host Game 1 of the Best of 3 playoff series on Friday, March 17th at 7:10 p.m. and Game 3 if necessary on Sunday, March 16th at 6:10 p.m. The first 500 fans receive a Cyclones playoff rally towel presented by Lake of the Torches Resort Casino. Visit wausaucyclones.com for tickets.
Are pain and discomfort keeping you from living your best life? It doesn't have to be that way. Mosinee Family Chiropractic is here to help you. Serving Wausau and surrounding areas, they provide gentle, effective chiropractic care for the whole family, helping with back pain, headaches, sports injuries, and more. With a patient-first approach, they focus on real solutions for lasting relief. Feel better, move better, and live better. Call Mosinee Family Chiropractic today, 715-869-3132, and schedule your appointment to live better.
At Weston Smiles, your smile is our top priority. From routine cleanings to advanced cosmetic and implant dentistry, we offer gentle, personalized care in a comfortable environment. With a newly expanded facility, state-of-the-art technology, and a team that truly cares, we make every visit stress-free and guilt-free. Healthy, confident smiles start here. Call Weston Smiles today to book your appointment and learn more about our services, amenities, and team at WestonSmilesDental.com. Thanks to the Wausau West Athletic Department for their continued support of our broadcast of Wausau West Warrior Athletics on Faux Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Thanks for listening to our broadcast on the radio, but we want to see you out and about cheering on Wausau West student athletes in action. To find out your next opportunity to see the Warriors, go to WisconsinValleyConference.org and click on Wausau West.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at BullFallsRadio.com.
And Chad Holmes with BJ Brandt back here in Middleton as right now the Central Wisconsin Storm will receive their state runner-up medals and state runner-up trophy as today the Bay Area Ice Bears defeat the Storm by a score of 8-0. And again, part of the specialness of the state tournament are moments like this where you get the medals, you get rewards for what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, you get this far, you want to have something for it. And right. you get a trophy, Chad. There's a reason that they hand this out because these girls have earned it. You know, it didn't feel like it today, but they've certainly earned this.
Yep, so each of the players getting introduced, coming out to receive their medals, and then after that they will have the state runner-up trophy given to Coach Jana Wimmer, who I suppose will give the trophy then to the captains and the team to say, hey, fantastic season.
Yes, absolutely.
And the thing about it is, yeah, 5 state championships and so many trips to state. The record has been just amazing as the Central Wisconsin Storm receive their medals. I'm going to let you make sure you get what you need here. I'm going to go through the scoring of this one. The Ice Bears got on the board first at 3:48 of the first period. Faye Brunke with the goal. Maya Shepherd and Emily Bill with the assist to make it 1-0. Ice Bears then made it 2-0 at 11:39 of the first period. Again, it was Faye Brunke with the goal. Tiana Stint and Emily Bill had the assist, 2-0, and that would be the score at the end of the first period. Then in the second period at 2:37, Emily Bill would score. Julianne Bradford and Faye Brunke got the assist, make it 3-0. And then at 10:15 of the second period, Julianne Bradford scored. Faye Brunke and Emily Bill with the assist. And it was 4-0 Ice Bears at the end of two. Then the Ice Bears, about midway through the third period, made it 5-0 at 8:36. A shorthanded goal by Faye Brunke. Ava McDonald had the assist. That completed a hat trick for Faye Brunke. Then at 9:38, Lily Lyons would score. Hannah Von Hayden with the assist. 13:01, Rachel Beck scored. Addison Gady with the assist. And at 14:33, Faye Brunke would get her fourth of the game. Emily, Bill, and Julianne Bradford with the assist. And that made it 8-0, and that is the final score. 23 saves today for Cammie Floor. Reese Spearing had 16 saves for the Bay Area Ice Bears as the Bay Area finishes the season where they did not lose to a team from the state of Wisconsin. They had one loss, 2-1 back in December to a team from Minnesota, while the Storm fall just five times this season. And I was saying before you came on earlier, they had two overtime losses, a loss with like 2 seconds ago in regulation. So, again, they basically, outside of Bay Area, and you got to say Bay Area kind of earned it because they beat the best.
They did.
And
they did.
Other than that, the Storm really, they could have easily been undefeated at the time. But in the end, the Storm, Cammy Floor coming out, getting her medal. And then the state runner-up trophy will now be given to Jana Wimmer. As the coach walks out, getting congratulations from the members of the WIAA, and she will receive the trophy and lift it up and take it to her team. The entire team will come, grab that silver trophy, and celebrate an incredible season. You appreciate it probably in a few more minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe on the bus ride home even.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about 10 years ago when we were in this spot, you can reflect on it in the moment and be happy for what you earned. And that's, you know, something that they can be proud of because this their name's in the book forever in this championship game. And today wasn't their day, but you still get the opportunity to raise a trophy. And it's not the one they wanted, but it's the one they earned today. And doesn't take away from everything they accomplished. Number one, all these seniors in their career. And number two, this team in the last five-plus months.
And now they're getting their team picture taken in front of the Storm cheering section along with the trophy as well. I got to say, that group really knows what they're doing. They got over there and they got into the right spot so very quickly. That's a team that really knows how to take those pictures. They've had some practice with these pictures.
Well, Chad, they have had a lot of practice with these pictures. And just super proud of the girls and how they represent our community. And you know, I don't think this will be the last time we get to call a state tournament game for them because this program just continues to produce high-quality girls hockey players.
Before we wrap it up, what is the key? What has been the key to this co-op of Wausau area hockey teams that come together, Mosinee in there as well? What has been the key to the sustained success, different coaches, different players, yet they consistently do it? And it's not as simple. Because you hear people talk about the co-op aspect. There are other co-ops. There are bigger co-ops. And yet the Storm able to consistently make it here. You're knee-deep in this program. What is the key?
Well, I think the key is numbers. I think there's a lot of players and a lot of young girls that have decided to play hockey, and we have a lot of numbers at that. And when you get good numbers, that's when talent can come to the top and you get skill development and people start to love the sport. And it's not easy. The co-op is not easy at the youth level, and but they found a way to be successful because some girls choose to play boys hockey. Some girls, you know, go into the girls co-op and then come back out. You know, there's a lot of ways to do things, and it's not easy, but the people have found a way to make sure that these girls are prepared when they get to the high school level.
This is always hard because when you think about it, when I was driving back down here this morning, being the last day of our hockey season, it's 8.5 months until Thanksgiving weekend when you do it again. I mean, it's like, it feels like a long season, but it's a long off season as well. And it's been a really good, I mean, obviously you have so much to be proud of with your program. The Storm have so much to be proud of with their program. It's been just an incredibly fun season to call high school hockey here on this radio station. But as we put to the wraps on another hockey season, boy, I mean, this has been a really good one, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been fantastic, Chad. I mean, from the girls' side, from the boys' side, I can't be prouder of where Central Wisconsin is in this hockey world because, you know, these girls, I think, expect to be there. Our guys, I don't know that they totally believed in it, but a few of us did and played well enough to get here. And, you know, just a really fun group to watch on the girls' side and our Wausau West boys.
Well, I always enjoy having you come on board. I always enjoy seeing your team. I set a record this year, 27 games of yours. And then somewhere like 8 or 9 with the Storm. I got to count them up. So I think I did more hockey this year than ever before. That only happens because teams go deep.
I tell you, Chad, we love having you, and there's certainly a lot of people that love listening to you, and even to the point where when you don't have a hockey game to call, I'm still listening to you call our boys' basketball game last night. So wish them the best as they compete against Eau Claire Memorial today. I sent Coach Nate Lemons a message to take down the old Aves because Warriors like to do that.
Yeah, you talk about rivals. I think you like chopping down the evergreens during the Marathon Cup, and you definitely like knocking down the old Aves, whether it's at a sectional or a state tournament. But congrats to you. Congrats to your daughter being part of this fantastic team. Congrats to Jana Wimmer. Congrats to everybody involved in the Central Wisconsin Storm hockey program for another outstanding year. So we'll catch you at Hobbs in November.
Sounds wonderful, Chad. Can't wait.
8-0 today. The Bay Area Ice Bears defeat the Central Wisconsin Storm. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to you for joining us. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Central Wisconsin Storm State Tournament Hockey on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Storm Hockey has been brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, Coast to Coast Marketing, Wausau West Athletic Department, Four Seasons Golf, the Wausau Cyclones, Mike Whitmore Construction, Bozanie Smiles Dental, Bozanie Family Chiropractic. Thanks for joining us for Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey on your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO.
Well, that was, you anticipated my next question was
also,
whether.
Also, I should say,
yes.
You can use. There you go. Yep.
Yep.
You can also use Libby. That is a free app, libbyapp.com. And that allows you to enjoy ebooks from your local library. All you need is a library card, but you need that app, Libby.
Wow. Well, so that was going to be my next point was, and you mentioned it already, that you are not particularly an ebook reader. Not that you're dissuading anybody, but that is your preference, is to have that book right in your hand.
Absolutely. As long as you're reading, that's what I care about. You know, if it adds a few pounds to your suitcase, it's worth it. Yeah.
That sounds great. And so, again, for folks that might have missed it at the start of things where we talked about all the different book groups that are out there. But, yes, starting your own, the resources are there. Mm-hmm. And you can really tailor it to whatever works best for you and your friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you get the word? Do you necessarily urge everybody to put their book club on social media to try to get a whole bunch of strangers in there and grow the group, or just keep it close?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm in a book group that's with women in my neighborhood, and we switch houses each month, and who's ever hosting picks the book and provides snacks and wine. That we don't need social media for that. That's just a really intimate thing with friends and neighbors. The Great Midwest Book Group that I do online, that's different. I mean, that's a way of really bringing in a lot of people to celebrate Midwestern authors.
There's so much out there. Yeah. And again, the website that you mentioned that you could check out is bookclubs.com to learn all about it. Laura Ann Bird, this was great. We all need a break. We need a break from social media. We need a break from the news headlines for a little bit before we come back in and be informed about the world all over again. But we need the escape that books provide. And we're so thankful that you keep coming in and telling us more.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry about the Wi-Fi issues. I'm cursed,
okay.
I guess.
No. We're fine. It's that's modern technology. Another thing we need to escape with a book now and then. Thank you, Laura.
Exactly.
Thanks, Pat. You bet. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, we'll talk about what's coming up on Matinair on Air, which follows on weekday mornings here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we will wrap things up with Mr. Bach as well right after this, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history.
This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we head up to Green Bay for Mino and the Mayor. Jim and John this week welcomed on Will Koken from HOOA, also known as H-O-O-A-H, to discuss what you can do this week for Invest in Veterans Week.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app coming your way from Oshkosh, Appleton, and Green Bay. And I got to tell you, I just ran out of here to go grab my phone that I'd left. It is nasty, icky out there. It is raining sleet. It is icky. That's a meteorological term. Yeah, it is very icky out there. Yes, we'll go fishing.
It kind of is. I mean, it's a little sleet. A little snow and
crappy. Yeah. This week is Invest in Veterans Week. And joining us right now, one of my favorite veterans of all time, Will Koken. Will, how you doing, my brother?
I would be doing better if it wasn't for this weather you were just talking about.
Isn't it?
I think that's the same way as everybody.
It is just nasty. Did you have to drive today to where you work?
I did. We were actually talking about this yesterday, and I was like, if people want a vacation in Wisconsin, this is an experience all of Wisconsin. I was like, this is the type of week they should show up for, because they get all four seasons of Wisconsin packed into like 3 days.
Isn't that crazy? 55 in a couple of days? Unreal. Well, Will, tell everybody what your history is in the military, which continues in very admirable fashion.
Yeah, so I have about 22 years of total service, with 18 of those on the active duty side. And then I've also founded and continue to be involved in what is now HOOA Wisconsin, which stands for Helping Out Our American Heroes. It's a nonprofit that spans across all of Wisconsin.
Outstanding. And when we talk about this Invest in Veterans Week, how can we? I mean, you're still in the military. You help these young military personnel, soldiers all the time. What can we do to invest in veterans?
Yeah, so there's as you know, firsthand with everything you've done as well, there is a ton of ways to do that. It's not just when you think of invest, it's not just investing financially, which is a mechanism to do so. But it's more important is investing your time. And that is, you know, simply reaching out to veterans, seeing how they're doing, things that you could potentially do for them and or for the community as a whole. But really, it just comes down to a small sacrifice of your time of just picking up the phone this week or ideally every day this week and calling a veteran that you know, as most of us are connected to them, or finding a veteran. It's not that hard to find them. And just spending some time getting to know them and seeing how life is at this current time. That's the best way to really invest in a veteran and in their mental health.
I think that's great advice in that it doesn't really cost you dollars. And even if it's someone that might be a neighbor that you don't know them real well, they still like – people like good conversation, and they're all going to ask about you as well. But, you know, if there's someone they haven't seen for a while, or an uncle that's been, you haven't seen them for a couple of years, just pick up the phone and call them this week. This is a good week to, like you said, reach out and get something going.
I'm good friends with folks that do Vets and Friends in Appleton, Will.
Yep.
It's a free breakfast on Thursday or Friday mornings, I can't remember now, in Appleton, and then they used to do one on Saturdays as well. But they contacted me the other day, and they said, John, we heard you were thinking about trying to do something like that up in Green Bay. And I said, well, not every week, but maybe once a month, starting next month. They said, absolutely. So Jim's facility
I have to get permission. No, no. But we could do that. It would be ideal. There's great parking. We have an awesome, unbelievable kitchen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it would be free breakfast for the veterans once a month. I think that'd be awesome, don't you?
I agree. It would be awesome. That has happened a few times, and there's just never been a leader to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And every time it's had a solid turnout and just tons of smiles and people reconnecting. It's always funny when you walk in a room and as soon as a guy says, like, I'm a veteran, and you're like, oh, I'm a veteran. Yeah. And then it's just like cluck, 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 right? And they're just constantly sharing their stories for the next 45 minutes. That's what you see and experience at those breakfast things, is like just a bunch of people. And it could be a Vietnam vet with a modern Iraq Afghanistan vet. Just having a great time sharing stories.
One guy who was 101 years old. He was a B-24 gunner in World War II on unbelievable raids, sitting there with about a 22-year-old, Afghanistan-type vet. That, to me, is like, oh, man, you talk about capture this moment in time. World War II veteran, 100 years old, and this young, in his 20s, Afghanistan vet.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's one of the coolest things I see is they still have similar stories, and it's just awesome to watch both of those individuals just smile and laugh and tell stories about the same experiences that they shared in the military.
Outstanding.
And that I just want to go back to this Veterans Week, and I think we think about things a lot. Well, this is the week to do it, right? And when you talk about reaching out and grabbing that cup of coffee, I wasn't right. Sorry about that. I don't throw it back on the McDonald's thing. Whataburger offers free coffee to veterans and active military duty every day. And these other places that do, they're not really in Green Bay. Do we have a Casey's in Green Bay?
Never heard of it.
No.
Do we have a Whataburger?
We do have Casey's in Oshkosh.
Okay.
Though.
Oh, really? Yep.
So Casey's offers free coffee, fountain drinks to veterans year-round.
Yep.
So Casey's is pretty popular. I mean, they're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously they're in Oshkosh.
Is it a hamburger-type place?
No, it's like a gas station.
It's kind of a 7-Eleven, but maybe a little.
Okay, cool.
But these other ones, I don't,
We don't have a Whataburger, do we?
No, yeah, we do.
We did over at the mall.
I thought it closed. Yeah.
I think it closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
I think we had one in the downtown mall, which was really cool.
No, it was not in. That was Wahlburger that was in the mall.
No, that was McDonald's. I was like, I've seen two McDonald's close in my life.
Oh, my God.
Two Johnson, well, you should save them all. I two McDonald's close in my life. One was in Philly. I went out there with a friend of mine, burned out cars. It's just, and then I saw a closed McDonald's. The other one I saw was Green Bay, Wisconsin, the downtown mall. So that just tells you how well that mall was doing when I closed it. John's like, "Why you should have done that?"
Maybe if it had some support from the mayor's office. I'd still be eating my big cookie and my orange Julius.
Yeah, you couldn't buy enough Big Macs to keep that open.
All right. So, Will, what's the state of the military right now?
I think pretty good, but that's just my opinion from the purview that I have here in the Wisconsin National Guard. But we personally, from my organization, I have a ton of motivated individuals that are excited to do their different jobs in the military, and it's great to see. There's a ton of good camaraderie. We've been really focused the last few years on this building the team approach or building this camaraderie and making sure that everybody feels like they're a significant part of the organization, and you can see it paying off in the culture. So I think when you look at the levels that you're able to see personally, I think it's very strong.
And our country, support-wise?
Yeah, there's not a place I go when I'm in uniform that somebody doesn't thank me for my service. Or if they know, like, especially in our community. Our community, I think, is like the greatest group of military supporters I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
You look at what organizations like Old Glory Honor Flight, when they land a plane at Appleton Airport, is slam-packed with people. And I look at, like, when we host the Rock, the KI can barely fit people inside of its doors. It's so busy. And so I think that the support in our local community for veterans is just astronomical. As far as countrywide, I'm not everywhere, so I can't speak to it with any sort of education. But I can say the places that I travel and the areas that I choose to live and reside and visit frequently.
That's great to hear.
There's a ton of military support. Yeah.
And a shout out to the schools too. The University of Wisconsin Green Bay does a big outreach program and at NWTC. Yep. So I think you're right. The community here is very engaged and rightfully so.
Will Koken, you're the best. Fourth UWA. Thanks for what you do, my brother. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best, Will. We got to set a quick break at 8:34. Tony Giese, Heritage Auctions. Extremely interesting.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is applauding House Republicans for the stopgap spending bill they've come up with to avert a government shutdown next week. In Baltimore, Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen addressed a Day of Action to Save Medicare rally.
Keep your hands off Medicare!
Trump's on again, off again. Tariffs are causing headaches for the nation's farmers. At a farmer's market in San Francisco, Joel Aguayo says he's trying to keep his prices down while his expenses are soaring.
I feel like once the prices go up, they're never going to come back down. And it's not like we can jump the price on produce because then the people won't be able to afford it.
A 14-year-old is charged with murder and attempted murder after allegedly shooting two police officers in Newark, New Jersey last night. Essex County Prosecutor Theodore Stevens.
5-year veteran Officer Joseph Azcana was shot before he even had the opportunity to leave his police car.
The 14-year-old was also shot and is expected to survive. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Badgers stunned today in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, Penn State has struggled all season, but not today. The Nittany Lions scored 51 points in the second half on the way to an 86-75 upset win over the number 12th-ranked Badgers at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin's Steve Kroll after the loss.
I think, like Coach said in the locker room, just the bite wasn't there necessarily. Like he said, to end the end the first half, then all the way through the second half. I just think we didn't have enough grit, enough bite in that second half, and credit to them for taking it to us.
Number 20th ranked Marquette losing today in Milwaukee 86-84 to number 6 ranked St. John's on the Golden Eagles Senior Day. NBA Bucks basketball tonight as they host the Orlando Magic.
Kuz is the ability to play so many positions and do so many things has just been really good for us. Been great for Giannis, you know, to have another big on the floor. It's been great for our defense. Our defensive numbers in this stretch is number 1 in the league.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 20s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow and even warmer. High in the mid-50s. The warmth continues into next week. Highs well into the 40s and 50s, even some 60s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
This season, your coffee orders are getting warmer and your outfits are getting cozier. The world keeps changing, and so does COVID-19. That's why this season's COVID-19 shots have been updated. They're one of the best ways to help protect yourself against COVID-19. You can get a COVID-19 shot at the same visit as a flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Talk to your healthcare provider to learn more and schedule at vaccines.gov. And don't forget to get extra cinnamon spice. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll take a look back at the news of the weekend and also discuss Ukraine, why what's happening there matters here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Up next, we go to Mantenere On Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed on James Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. They chat all about news coming out of the courts of this country, and specifically about a decision from the Supreme Court on whether or not President Trump can withhold payments from foreign aid groups. Jim likens the president to leaders of bygone days who have declared, "I am the law."
Good morning. Welcome to Mantenere On Air. Jane Mantenere, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-8582. That's 855-755-Civic. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the deadline to register to vote via mail or online for the April 1st general election is next Wednesday, March 12th. If you don't know if you're registered, if you want to check, if you want to see what's on your ballot, just go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and everything you need will come up. It's really a great one-stop shop.
Yes.
Including in case you're ever inclined to call one of your representatives.
Jane, can I find phone numbers there?
You can find all the applicable phone numbers right there, and they love hearing from us.
Should I swear and be mean?
No.
Okay.
Don't. That's kind of the same rule we have for the show. If all you have are curse words and insults, then you have no argument. So yeah, I wouldn't suggest that you do that. But I do encourage people to call.
Yeah.
And leave a message. Just let them know you're thinking of them. I think that's important.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Thinking of you, won't forget. All right. Joining us now from his somewhere in southeastern Wisconsin, and he is our friend and colleague who has a show on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11 called Amicus, a Law Review. Jim Santel is here now for our new weekly spot. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. You are still an acting attorney. You still actually do attorney things.
I do attorney stuff and court things and all those that fun stuff, and great to work on a number of different civil rights cases, human stuff, and we can chat about that sometime down the road. If I can jump right into Greg's comment about things we say on the air, note as well that this president on February 18th entered an executive order in which he claimed that, yes, the Federal Communications Commission is now under his exclusive control, that he states what the law is, and that this independent agency, previously created by our Congress, is now inside the Oval Office. A stunning thing. So, Greg, watch what you're saying, not only before, but especially now, because apparently the president is listening.
Well,
it's a stunning thing. I don't mean to make light of it at all. It is horrific.
And is he actually allowed to do that? This is mine now. I'm taking this agency now. It's mine.
That begs a question. Go on. I'm sorry, sir.
No. It does beg a lot of questions. And the answer is no.
Okay.
And yet, as we're going to talk, I think, in the next few moments here today and every Thursday, which I'm very excited about, by the way, to be with you, we're going to talk about the challenges to that. And what do you do? Well, as to the FCC, as to these other agencies, these likewise now brought apparently under the White House aegis here, the Federal Trade Communications, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, a part of the Federal Reserve that establishes our financial policy. What's going to happen is we're going to be running into court now, challenging all these things, and eventually leading up to the Supreme Court, which, again, as we're going to talk, does is now weighing in on all this. Why are we doing this as Americans rather than focusing on things like education and environment and commercial policy and, yes, overseas, international policy, healthcare, all those, labor, commerce, agriculture? But instead, we're running into court, getting judges, requiring judges to say almost across the board, unanimously, you can't do this, Mr. President. And that's the frustrating part about all of this.
Because it seems like, and it seems like to me that executive orders, in the sense of like the FCC is mine, that seems almost like a proclamation type of level. You're like, it's not really your day. You can say it's yours, but it's not yours. The FCC. But now what it does is, instead of, it doesn't change anything other than you having to go to the courts and fight the executive order's language, which now just gums up our already slow working court system.
Yes.
Takes time away from the work they should be doing on actual important things. But like, I guess, because that's what the thing is, like, everyone's freaking out about executive orders. And I'm wondering which ones are important and which ones do we say English as the national language? Let's just focus on the important things.
Right. I think that's exactly right. And some of the judges are saying just that. That is, some of these do go to the core. And those that do go to the core fundamentally are addressing this basic issue, which we all learned, I think, in grade school. Maybe not. But the fundamental notion is Congress sets up all of these agencies. It's the Article 1 of our Constitution. It's the big one. Congress is the one that makes these decisions. They put it in place. They establish the rules. And as a part of our checks and balances, the president, yes, can make decisions in these areas. But the agencies then respond. The Congress responds. The courts respond. And when a president simply says, as Louis XIV did,
yeah,
way back in the 17th century, here's some French this morning, right? L'état, c'est moi, right? Greg, you and I talked about,
yes,
this
indeed,
a number of weeks ago. When the president simply says, I am the law, which is what he said on February 18th, and you follow that, and if you don't, bad things are going to happen to you. That's when, once again, as we're always saying so consistently, we now have an authoritarian government inconsistent with our Constitution, the basic ways in which our government works.
There are so many different ways that this is problematic. And I've spent a lot of time, Jim, because, again, one of Congress's main things is the power of the purse. That is their power. They control what money gets sent out, what gets appropriated where. So that is their big constitutional power. And I kept thinking about, if you are a member of the House, why would you cede that authority? That's the best thing you've got. That's your cudgel. That's your thing. I can only imagine that they are being promised that, well, if you just cede this power to the president, we're going to make sure you never have to run again. And essentially, you'll never have to work another day in your life because you're never going to have to respond to your constituents.
Right. All you need to do is show up every so often at one of those House or the Senate buildings on either side of the Capitol. Will keep you there. And Shane, I could not have said it more. No one can say it better than you just did, which is, you are elected by the people, whether it's of some of the districts in Wisconsin or one of the other 434 other districts around the country, to represent them. If you make decisions, if you vote in certain ways and a majority of your voting constituents say no, all right. That's, again, a part of our process, and I recognize that power is a big thing, but that also affirms the fundamental notion that we do have a representative democracy. If you are ceding, as you just said, that authority given to you by your local constituents, and you go to Washington and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything other than what the White House has told me to do, you're in violation of the oath that you took. You're in violation of the contract that you made with everyone who voted for you.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel is our guest. He hosts Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. It's a wonderful program. You will, yes, learn so much. And in actual human speak, as opposed to just lawyer speak, which is a whole different language.
I know.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Jim, this is from Esquire. The Supreme Court ruled against Trump, but it didn't stop Justice Alito from getting snotty. I love the headline. So Donald Trump did actually have a loss in front of the Supreme Court that happened this week.
Absolutely. And this is a big one. This is a big one. And the important reason, it's so important, Jane and Greg and Calvin, that you address this for all your listeners, is that this has got everything inside it, right? It's got the usurpation of authority by a president. It's got congressional action. It's got, again, snottiness. I would describe it as intellectual dishonesty. We'll talk about some of the language that Alito has used.
Yeah.
It's simply wrong. It's simply wrong. It's intellectually dishonest. It's got foreign policy. And yes, it also has the continuing emergence of Amy Coney Barrett distancing herself more and more. We've talked about a lot of this on your show in the past from her conservative allies. Watch her in the future and see what she does. She joins John Roberts in handing this defeat to the president.
When I saw that, I almost fell out of my chair. Seriously. And MAGA is up in arms now about Amy Coney Barrett. They are furious that she sided again with the liberals. But then John Roberts did too.
Which is nothing new for John Roberts.
Every once in a while he does something not nuts.
Yeah. Right. That's a perfect way to describe it. Because I do believe, as again, we've discussed in the past, I think every so often he wakes up and thinks, gosh, this is the Roberts Court. It's going to have my name on it for all time, history. And maybe on some of these really fundamental things, although, again, he is also the one that 8 months ago gave the president a pass on criminal activity. For which, just as an aside, have you heard about this hot mic at the State of the Union?
Yes.
The president walks over to John Roberts and says, thank you. We won't forget.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Quid pro quo right there in the wall, the halls of the Congress. But again, this is a situation where you've got maybe an emerging Supreme Court, maybe a little bit of the Chief Justice saying this is too far. And so he also, in a very brief order to get into the substance of this, this is what Donald Trump did, as he promised, on January 20. He halts all programs, all monies for what we know as USAID. This is the foreign aid programs that does all sorts of things, medical care, food, businesses, commercial disease prevention, political instability. When I was in Iraq, these are the folks who made things happen there to develop an institution, a new government. And Donald Trump comes in and again says horrifically, stopping all of that. Now, what happens is it goes to a judge named Amir Ali, who we've talked about before. He's in the federal district court in Washington, D.C. And Ali looks at this and says, first of all, again, no authority, no executive authority for the president to do this. And he orders that it all be stopped, or at least he enters what's called a TRO, a temporary restraining order. And again, tells the president, knock it off. Get these funds flowing once again. And about $1.5 billion, the judge directs them to do that. And again, in the category of this event, this news story has everything. We've got the other major issue here, which is arguably moving toward a constitutional crisis. Because as Judge Ali said, during the course of these initial proceedings, gets the attorneys back in and he says, what's going on? Why are you not following what I told you to do?
Yep.
The attorneys for the Department of Justice say, well, I can't. We've got some theories here that maybe your order didn't mean what it says. He says, no, do what I said, or I'm going to find you in contempt. And it's then that the attorneys take this to the Supreme Court. John Roberts briefly suspends, stays everything that the judge has done. And then again, just yesterday, issues this 5-4 decision, just a paragraph. It's kind of convoluted because there's all this procedural history there,
right,
which I've somewhat glossed over. But in the end, he says, nope, the president needs to abide. At least he needs to follow the law. He sends it back to the judge and says, be a little bit more particular about what exactly you need for them to do. You should clarify what obligations the government must fulfill. The judge, in this case, he will jump right on that. I'm sure he's on it today. And he will tell the attorneys once again, here's exactly what you need to do. Follow what I'm saying or else. And again, if Donald Trump says no, we do have that constitutional crisis afoot.
Well, and that leads me, and we're going to come right up against the break, so we'll address this on the other side. What does that or else mean? Where does that or else take us and what could happen if we get to that point? Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review across the network Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. We are global if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show down in Madison. John and Gordy welcomed on Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report to give us a recap of the U.S. Championship Cheese Competition held up in Green Bay this week. They also chat about an upcoming event this weekend in Springfield Corners, north of Madison, the annual Testicle Festival.
WMDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning. Overcast day so far here in the capital city, Madison.
It's 21 minutes past the hour, 32 degrees. Our high today right around 40. And a really nice weekend ahead with highs in the 40s and 50s.
Time once again to speak to Pam Yonke at the Midwest Farm Report. And we have the results, don't we, for the Championship Cheese Fest. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep, yep. The Championship Cheese Contest wrapped up yesterday afternoon. That was up at the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay, and my junior assistant, Ben Jarbo, took it in for the very first time. If anybody was listening to the early show this morning, he mispronounced Gouda, which was the champion cheese. So that's okay. Really? He's from South Central Illinois. I think a lot of things about Wisconsin need a little time for him. But, yeah, you know, Wisconsin didn't come away with the top champion. But what I'm emphasizing today is that they had nine of the champion slots, nine out of the top 20, went to Wisconsin cheese companies. Lake Country Dairy, Schumann Cheese up in Turtle Lake. Last year, or the last time that the U.S. Cheese Championship was held, they won with one of their artisan cheeses. This year, they had three of their entries that ended up in the top 20, so they did really well.
Wow. Yeah.
Klondike Cheese, our buddies down in Monroe, two of their Havartis were in the top champion list. Belgioso Cheese up in Denmark, Henning Cheese in Kiel, and then Carr Valley. Sid Carr at Carr Valley had two cheeses, one from his Linden plant and the other from his Mauston plant, that again ended up as champions in their category. You know, and honestly, guys, the winner has Wisconsin ties, too. So the winner was an aged Gouda, or if you're from Holland, they say Houda over there.
Oh.
And that came from Bantam, Connecticut. The farm, Arethusa Farm Dairy, produced it. And their cheesemaker, Eric Schmid, is actually from Monticello, Wisconsin. So he studied making cheese in Wisconsin. In fact, I think he is a master cheesemaker from Wisconsin, and he's taken his wares, so to speak, out there and has really been helping Arethusa put together some beautiful cheeses. And this is the second time that this particular recipe for an aged Gouda from Arethusa topped the contest. So they got a good thing going on out there as far as their cheese chemistry.
Boy, that's really great. Yeah,
sounds like it.
Well, how did your other companion there at the Midwest Farm Report, how did you say Gouda?
Well, how do you think? Probably
like Gouda. Like Gouda. Yeah.
Gouda. Okay.
It didn't sound attractive. Yeah. It didn't sound attractive. I'd have to go back and listen.
Like
to
gout.
It. But yeah, kind of. You know how when you know how to say something when somebody says it wrong, it automatically jars your ear. So that's what I heard this morning and had to get on right away and kind of correct him. But that's okay. Yeah. We're still rubbing the new off of him, so that's okay.
Well, you know, he's from below the cheddar curtain.
That's right.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we're trying to teach Ben about Wisconsin agriculture for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, at least, I mean, that's kind of a win for Wisconsin, having a Wisconsin cheesemaker, you know, do the best cheese at the competition. So I like that.
He's very complimentary about everything that he learned in Wisconsin. He loves Wisconsin. It's just, you know, the jobs out there. Mm-hmm. And I know about Arethusa Dairy. They're big winners usually at World Dairy Expo, not only with their cheese, but also the dairy animals that they bring. It's just a really cool story about how two people from New York City, I mean, literally Manhattan, decided that they wanted to save that farm in Connecticut from being turned into a golf course in development. Mm. So they stepped in and bought the farm 20 years ago now and kept it, promised the family that originally owned it they'd bring back the name Arethusa, and then they started showing dairy cattle, then they started milking more cows, then they started producing their own on-farm cheese, their on-farm ice cream and all that kind of stuff. Now they're really quite the destination for a lot of consumers on the East Coast to get that real dairy feel experience.
Well, it sounds like a plot to a really nice movie or documentary.
Oh, yeah. Someday. Fantastic. Someday.
And I love the way you called it they bought the farm. a positive spin on that.
Now we want to talk about something that's happening this weekend, tomorrow, in Springfield Corners.
It's
right?
The Testicle Festival.
Now, John and I went to this last year, Pam.
Yes, we did. We put it on the map, basically.
Well, I don't know about that. Pam, you're going to be there this year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I can't believe that it's been under my radar. It's been around for 30 years.
Yes.
Oh, and, is that right?
Pam from Springfield Corners reached out to me and said, hey, we think this would be something cool for your group, your team to be at. And we've been working hard to try to figure out how – my team works very hard, really hard, especially at this time of the year. And we need to let off a little steam, so to speak, so we took Pam up on her offer. Although I've never – I mean, it's not like I'm a stranger to Rocky Mountain oysters or, you know, sheep fries and stuff like that. But I've never gone to this, so if you guys can share your notes with me, I'd appreciate it before 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Well,
well, we went last year, and it was well-attended, a great little place there. Actually, it's a fairly large bar.
It's huge, and there are a lot of people there, shoulder to shoulder sometimes.
And they have a variety of items there to taste test.
Different kinds of testicles, different animals.
Yep, right.
Pig.
And they're rather large, so they cut them up into pieces and bread them, and then they individually fry each one in different frying oil.
Yeah.
But
they have different sauces. And then they also have other items, too, regular buffet kind of thing.
But he kind of glanced off the sauces thing. I think that's the whole point.
Really?
Is to cover whatever flavor is there with the sauce.
That's what I told my team. I said, I sounded like their mother. I said, okay, everybody's going to try them. You can spit them out, but you're going to try them. Everybody's going to try them.
We suggested maybe they have a costume contest, you know. So far, they haven't taken that up on it.
Best-looking testicle.
Right. Yeah, well, that's there. See, that's probably why she hasn't taken you up on that suggestion. At least might be called to the event after something like that. You don't know.
Well, no, it's really fun, actually. Yeah. It's a fun family event, and they have, you know, they have a few games there for the kids, and they have music.
Band starts at 5, yep.
Yeah, music, six, yep. Yeah. And I think
what is the band? The Testies, right?
John, really. I think it opens up at 2 o'clock, and then...
Yeah, correct. 2 o'clock. We'll be out there by 3.
Mm-hmm. All right.
My team and I are going to plan on hanging around between 3 and 5, maybe longer, because, like I said, I was talking about Ben. Mm-hmm. His family's actually coming up to enjoy this.
Oh, no.
So this might be one of their first Wisconsin experiences. So,
yes.
Yeah,
that's great.
We'll
that's
see how this all goes. We may have much to talk about on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see you there. We're going to stop by, too. We're going to bring some WMDX T-shirts and John and Gordy squeeze balls.
We're going to bring our balls.
Perfect.
All right, yes.
Pam, have a great weekend. We'll see you tomorrow there, okay?
All right, boys. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Yep, all take right.
care. Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm practicing my quiet voice because Monday is my wife's birthday and she's sleeping in. One of the occupational hazards of trying to do a radio show from home.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. There's a lot of protesting going on nationwide. This International Women's Day, women are marching in dozens of cities to end sexism and oppression. This woman is marching in Los Angeles.
Everything that's going on in the United States is a mess right now, and we've walked before, and we're going to walk again. Women are strong.
And at Tesla showrooms across the country, protesters are speaking out against Elon Musk and the Doge job cuts. Also, a Don't Abandon Ukraine rally in Washington, D.C. today. Supporters of Ukraine also held a vigil in Philadelphia, days after President Trump paused all military aid to that country.